We continue our studies in the book of Hebrews, and we're dealing with verses 2 and 3 of the first chapter. But I would like to reread those three verses, 1, 2, and 3 of Hebrews chapter 1. And I sincerely hope that you who are listening in day after day will at some time through the day read the book of Hebrews through. Do what you can to do in reading this precious book. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoke unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. We were discussing the fact in our last lesson that God spoke in time past through creation, and then he spoke through the patriarchs, then through the prophets. In other words, down through time, God in different ways revealed himself to man. The person of God, for example, was made known through his creative acts. For the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, and so on. And then God began to reveal himself to the patriarchs and to the patriarchs. For example, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Abraham knew God. Job knew God. And he revealed himself to these men. And then, later on, he revealed himself to Israel through prophets, from Isaiah through to Malachi. Or, as 2 Peter 1:21 says, holy men of old spake as they were moved upon by the Spirit of God. Now God is speaking to us in his Son. It is final. This is final. God said to the people of our Lord's day, and he said to his disciples, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And our Lord said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and their life. This is final. How can I contact God? How can I know God? What is God like? God speaks through his Son. For Jesus Christ is the exact revelation of God to men. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath revealed him. So you have, in this book of Hebrews, the superiority of the Son of God over the prophets and over the fathers. The final revelation of God to men is through Jesus Christ. And you'll never know God apart through Christ. What about those who have never heard of Jesus, have never had the opportunity of hearing about Jesus Christ, God's Son? Then God holds them responsible to worship him as their creator. Now the central theme of the epistle is the Son of God, the exalted Son of God. As I said in the preceding lesson, four times in the epistle, in chapter 1, verse 3, in chapter 8, verse 1, in chapter 10, verse 12, in chapter 12, verse 2. He sat down at the right hand. In fact, I'm going to read to you the first verse of the 8th chapter, which is the very heart of the book, when it says, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Now let's take this second and third verse and see what he says about the Son. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Let me just take these glories of Christ, for this is what we have. And as you go through the whole epistle, the 13 chapters, you mind, you'll find that they are centered round the person of Christ. It's just as long as you and I, who love the Savior, are occupied with the person of Christ, can we enjoy fellowship with him. Sin breaks that fellowship. But he has made provision for us. And as I said in preceding lessons, the book of Hebrews is dealing with Christ in his present ministry for his own people. If I want to know what God has done for sinners, then I go to the book of Romans or the book of Galatians. What is Christ doing now? This is what I want to know as a Christian. Well, he set himself apart, as John 17:18 declares, he set himself apart for us, that we might be sanctified through the truth. Let's look at this. First of all, he's the heir of all things. That means that the Son of God has been appointed to inherit everything. Not only the nations of the earth, but everything in heaven and earth is under his authority. I wish in some way this would get into the hearts of people, even the unsaved, that Jesus Christ, our Savior, has made provision for men and women to be transformed into the children of God, to be freed and cleansed from sin and judgment, to receive eternal life and become a child of the living God. But if I spurn him, if I reject him, then I must face him as a judge. In John chapter 5, our Lord not only has all authority over life, but he also has authority over judgment. As he could say, the Father judgeth no man. He hath committed all judgment to the Son, because he's the Son of Man. Friend, we're dealing with a tremendous thing. And the one I'm talking about, who is my Savior and Lord on the throne, is the heir of all things. Now, I recognize, for example, in the second Psalm, where the Father speaks to the Son, and he said, "Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." But when you come to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, we find he works all things out after the counsel of his own will, and he has an inheritance in which you and I share. He owns everything. You see, it points here to the glory of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. He's the heir of the universe. And no wonder, because the next statement says, by whom he made the worlds. He not only is the heir of all things, and by the way, may I inject a verse here for you and me? In the book of Romans, chapter 8, 17 and 18, where Paul writes, "If we are children of God, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be glorified together with him. For I reckon," says Paul, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, I tell you, my friend, there's tremendous things in store for God's people. Why? Because our Savior is the heir of all things. But not only is he the heir of all things, but he's also the creator of all things. You remember in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 3, "By whom also he made the worlds," or, "for by him were all things created." Do you remember how John starts? "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, for by him were all things created." He's the creator of all things. You find it, for example, in Colossians chapter 1, where it speaks of the fact of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, "for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things are held together." Well, you take the eighth chapter of Proverbs. "I was with him when he made the worlds." I was his daily delight before ever the heavens were framed. Take the same chapter of Hebrews, the same book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Do you remember in the third verse we read, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By a fiat of God, you take the first chapter of your Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then you have the reformation. God speaks and it is done. God spoke and it was done. All the way down through, God said, light be, and light was. And Jesus Christ is also named as the Creator, for by him were all things made. Or as you have it here in Hebrews chapter 1, by whom also he made the worlds. He's the Creator. Now, it may be, someone might say, well, he's talking about framing the ages. That is, the world developed in time, the rearranging of the program of God, or the different ages in what we now call time. Yes, he has arranged all time from the very beginning to the end, from the earth of the past to the new heavens and the new earth of the future. All things are made by him. He's the creator of all things. Now, if I might do this, leave the next one out for a moment and take to the third verse. And upholding all things by the word of his power, he not only created all things, but he's the sustainer of all things. By him all things are held together. Do you ever stop to think of it? He upholds all things by the word of his power. He not only created all things by his word, but he upholds all things by his word. He's the sustainer of all things. Supposing he didn't. There are some men who say that God created the heavens and the earth, made certain laws, and threw them out into space, and forgot man. And everything works according to divine law. Never going to be changed. I tell you, my friend, Jesus Christ can do anything. He created all things. He sustains all things. By him, all things are held together. You take your little old watch you have on your wrist. If you want the right time, you've got to dial something and you get the right time. And where do they get it from? From the heavens. Do you ever stop to think that there are worlds 1,000 times larger than the earth, whirling through space at unbelievable speeds, and they're always at the right time, at the right place, always there on time? That's how we get our seconds and our minutes and our hours. God's time clock. When men flew from the earth to the moon, they had to go by God's time clock. And who causes all this? Who does all this? Jesus Christ, God's Son. The one some of you folk are rejecting, the one some of you Christians are indifferent to and cold in your own desire for him, cold, you have no warmth in your heart for the Savior. You haven't fallen in love with him. You've become religious instead of enjoying a life with the one who framed the ages and the one who is governing all time. And after all, in the light of eternity, time is a very, very small thing. What in the world is 10,000 years or 1,000,000 years? If there's such a thing as time for 1,000,000 years, which I don't believe, we go right out into eternity. And my Savior and your Savior not only framed the ages, not only created the worlds and the heaven and the earth, but he sustains it. By him all things are held together. Now I'll tell you one thing. If God did not hold things by the word of his power, what in the world would happen? I'm not surprised that when the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross, there was darkness over the earth for 3 hours, from noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Darkness in the middle of the day, when the sun was supposed to be in the zenith of its power. You've got intense, tense darkness. When Jesus Christ died for you, even the very heavens, the very sun, hid its face. Oh, God forbid that you and I, who profess His name, should live a life of indifference to the Son of God. What's the matter with us Christians? We get so occupied with a materialistic philosophy of life. We're so occupied with things and things we want to do and what we would like to have. And Christ comes way down the line. No wonder we're barren spiritually. Instead of living on the riches of the glory of His grace, we're living acting like paupers. And sometimes I'm sure if one's heart is burdened about these things, what do you think about the heart of the Savior who loved you and died for you and saved you and redeemed you? He upholds all things by the word of His power. You know, I've been amazed of late at just kind of getting through my thick head. Even though men today are going further and further away from the Savior, and I'm speaking in a very general way, millions of people in America enjoying all the blessings of God, in spite of all their moral corruption and lawlessness and rebellion and hatred for the Word of God and for the person of Christ, His sun still shines, and the trees still grow, and the birds still sing. I mentioned this before, and I don't mind mentioning it again. Men just take everything for granted. But I'll tell you very solemnly, there's a time coming when the one who was the creator and the upholder, the one who came to put away your sin by the sacrifice of Himself, is going to be a judge. And I'll tell you very bluntly, I don't want to be there when He's judging the world. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. And as Isaiah 26:9 says, when thy judgments are in the earth, men will learn righteousness. And I wonder sometime if they'll ever learn it any other way. Having spurned His love, having rejected His grace, turn their back on the mercy of God, the one who loved them enough to die for them. What will they do when they stand in the presence of Jesus Christ as the judge, their creator? No wonder when one reads the end of Revelation chapter 6, the kings of the earth, the chief men and the captains, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and rocks and caves of the world. What for? To hide them from the presence of Him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who is able to stand? Oh, Christian friend, can I just stop here a minute? Why not redeem the time? Why not bring to our friends and our neighbors and the ones with whom we work the precious story of redeeming grace, that God has made provision, God loves men. Even when they're active in their sin, He still loves them. And He wants to save them. But the day of grace is not going to go on forever. And the result is, a great many folk who have heard the gospel all their lifetime, eternal life within reach of them, they're going to meet the Savior in His wrath. He not only is the creator of all things, but He's the upholder of all things. And if I'm talking to you today, my friend, you say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm not a pagan, I'm not a heathen, I believe in the God who made things, I believe in the God of creation, then I ask you the question, do you worship Him? Do you know Him? What is your God like? What is the Creator like? If Jesus is not the Creator, if He is not the Revealer of God, where can you find a revelation of God? I'm just putting it on the line to you. Let's be realistic about it. You know right down in your heart, you know you must do something with Jesus Christ, God's Son. You can be indifferent to Him, you can spurn Him, you can reject Him, You can laugh at him, but I'll tell you one thing, you've got to face him. And either you face him as your savior, or your judge. I just pray, dear friend, as I talk to you about God's Son, God is talking to you through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, and the one who is upholding all things by the word of his power. Read these three verses of Hebrews chapter 1, and may the Lord abundantly, wonderfully bless you today.